Section 4, Reconstruction Collapses. An American Story. Ethelbert Barksdale could hardly contain his excitement as the 1875 election campaign in Mississippi wound down. For the past several years, Democrats had steadily regained power throughout the South, winning back various local and state offices from Republicans through political organizing and through intimidation and harassment of African Americans and other Republican supporters. Barksdale, the editor of the Weekly Clarion, a Democratic Mississippi newspaper, now watched with joy and anticipation as Democrats prepared to recapture numerous political offices in his state. To Barksdale and many other white Southerners, the efforts by the Democrats to regain political control was nothing less than a revolution to free the South from despised Republican rule. When a government is oppressed with very bad rulers and national affairs are tending toward corruption, the people bear these grievances for a long time, hoping that a reformation may come, he wrote on the eve of Election Day. Adapted from Reconstruction and Redemption in the South. The Grant Administration. As commander of the Union forces, Ulysses S. Grant had led the North to victory in the Civil War. His reputation had then carried him into the White House in the election of 1868. Unfortunately, Grant had little experience in politics. He believed that the president's role was to carry out the laws and leave the development of policy to Congress. This approach pleased the radical Republicans in Congress, but it left the president weak and ineffective when dealing with other issues. Eventually, Grant's lack of political experience helped to divide the Republican Party and to undermine public support for Reconstruction. The Republicans split. During Grant's first term in office, the Republican-controlled Congress continued to enforce Reconstruction. At the same time, Congress expanded the programs it had introduced during the Civil War to promote commerce and industry. It kept tariffs high, tightened banking regulations, promised to repay its debts with gold and not paper money, and increased federal spending on railroads, port facilities, and the national postal system. The Republican Congress also kept in place the taxes on alcohol and tobacco that had been introduced as emergency measures during the war. These taxes, nicknamed sin taxes, helped the government pay off the bonds that had been issued to pay for the Civil War. Democrats attacked these Republican economic policies, arguing they benefited the wealthy, such as government bondholders, at the expense of the poor, who paid most of the sin taxes. They argued that wealthy Americans were gaining too much influence in Grant's administration. Some Republicans, known as liberal Republicans, agreed with the Democrats. They were concerned that men who were in office to make money and sell influence were beginning to dominate the Republican Party. The liberal Republicans tried to prevent Grant from being nominated for a second term. When that failed, they left the Republican Party in 1872 and nominated their own candidate, Horace Greeley, the influential newspaper publisher. To attract Southern support, the liberal Republicans promised to pardon nearly all former Confederates and to remove Union troops from the South. As a result, the Democratic Party, believing that only a united effort would defeat Grant, also nominated Greeley. Despite the split in his own party, Grant won the election easily. Scandals mar Grant's second term. During Grant's second term, a series of scandals badly hurt his administration's reputation. In one scandal, Grant's Secretary of War, William Belknap, was found to have accepted bribes from merchants operating at army posts in the West. He was impeached, but resigned before the Senate could try him. Then, in 1875, the Whiskey Ring scandal broke. A group of government officials and distillers in St. Louis cheated the government out of millions of dollars by filing false tax reports. It was reported that Orville E. Babcock, Grant's private secretary, was in this group, although the charges were never proven. The Panic of 1873. In addition to dealing with political scandals, Grant and the nation endured a severe economic crisis that began during Grant's second term. The turmoil started in 1873 when a series of bad railroad investments forced the powerful banking firm of J. Cook & Company to declare bankruptcy. A wave of fear known as the Panic of 1873 quickly spread through the nation's financial community. The panic prompted scores of smaller banks to close and the stock market to plummet. Thousands of businesses shut down and tens of thousands of Americans were thrown out of work. The scandals in the Grant administration and the deepening economic depression hurt the Republicans politically. In the 1874 midterm elections, the Democrats won control of the House of Representatives and made gains in the Senate. These newly elected Democrats immediately launched investigations into the scandals, further embarrassing Grant and the Republicans. Reading check. Explaining. Why did the liberal Republicans oppose President Grant? Reconstruction ends. The rising power of the Democrats in Congress meant that enforcing Reconstruction policies became more difficult. At the same time, many Northerners were weary of the decade-long struggle to impose a new society on the South. They were more concerned with their own economic problems than with the political situation in the South. Democrats redeem the South. Throughout the 1870s, Southern Democrats had worked to regain control of their state and local governments from Republicans. Southern militia groups intimidated African-American and white Republican voters, while some Democrats resorted to various forms of election fraud, such as stuffing ballot boxes, bribing vote counters, and stealing ballot boxes in Republican precincts. Southern Democrats also called on all whites to help redeem or save the South from black Republican rule. By appealing to white racism and defining the elections as a struggle between whites and African Americans, Democrats were able to win back the support of white owners of small farms who had supported the Republicans. By 1876, the Democrats had taken control of all Southern state legislatures except those of Louisiana, South Carolina, and Florida. In those states, the large number of African American voters, protected by Union troops, were able to keep the Republicans in power. Turning point. The Compromise of 1877. With Grant's reputation damaged by scandals, the Republicans decided not to nominate him for a third term in 1876. Instead, they nominated Rutherford B. Hayes, a former governor of Ohio. Many Americans regarded Hayes as a moral man untainted by scandal or corruption. Hayes wanted to end radical Reconstruction. The Democrats responded by nominating Samuel Tilden, a wealthy corporate lawyer and former governor of New York, who had tried to end the corruption in New York City's government. On Election Day, Tilden clearly won 184 electoral votes, one short of a majority. Hayes clearly won 166 electoral votes, leaving 19 votes in dispute. These 19 votes were in the three southern states Republicans still controlled, Louisiana, South Carolina, and Florida. There had been so much election fraud on both sides that no one could tell who had won. To resolve the situation, Congress appointed a commission of 15 persons, made up equally of members of the House, Senate, and Supreme Court. The commission had 8 Republicans and 7 Democrats, and eventually voted along party lines, voting 8-7 to give the electoral votes to Hayes. The commission's recommendations, however, were not binding if both houses of Congress rejected them. After much debate, several Southern Democrats joined with Republicans in the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives and voted to accept the commission's findings, giving the election to Hayes, the Republican. Noting that Hayes could not have won without the support of Southern Democrats, many concluded that a deal had been made. This is why the outcome of the election is known as the Compromise of 1877. Historians are not sure if a deal really took place or what its exact terms were. The compromise reportedly included a promise by the Republicans to pull federal troops out of the South if Hayes was elected. In April 1877, after assuming the presidency, Hayes did pull federal troops out of the South. Without soldiers to support them, the two remaining Republican governments in South Carolina and Louisiana quickly collapsed. The Southern Democrats had redeemed the South. Reconstruction was now over. Reading check. Explaining. What major issue was settled by the Compromise of 1877? A New South arises. During his inaugural speech in March 1877, President Hayes expressed his desire to move the country beyond the quarrelsome years of Reconstruction, in part by putting an end to the nation's regional distinctions. He hoped to narrow the divisions of sectionalism that had long plagued the nation. Let me assure my countrymen of the southern states that it is my earnest desire to regard and promote their truest interests, the interests of the white and colored people both equally, and to put forth my best efforts in behalf of a civil policy which will forever wipe out the distinction between North and South, that we may have not merely a united North or a united South, but a united country. Quoted in Rutherford B. Hayes. Many Southern leaders realized the South could never return to the pre-Civil War agricultural economy dominated by the planter elite. Instead, these Southerners called for the creation of a new South, a phrase coined by Henry Grady, editor of the Atlanta Constitution. They were convinced that the region had to develop a strong industrial economy. New industries. An alliance between powerful white Southerners and Northern financiers brought great economic changes to some parts of the South. Northern capital helped to build railroads, and by 1890, almost 40,000 miles of railroad track crisscrossed the South, nearly four times the amount there in 1860. Southern industry also grew. A thriving iron and steel industry developed around Birmingham, Alabama. In North Carolina, tobacco processing became big business, and cotton mills appeared in numerous small towns. In other ways, however, the South changed little. Despite its industrial growth, the region remained largely agrarian. As late as 1900, only 6% of the Southern labor force worked in manufacturing. For many African Americans in particular, the end of Reconstruction meant a return to the Old South, where they had little political power and were forced to labor under difficult and unfair conditions. Sharecropping. The collapse of Reconstruction ended African American hopes of being granted their own land in the South. Instead, many returned to plantations owned by whites, where they either worked for wages or became tenant farmers, paying rent for the land they farmed. Most tenant farmers eventually became sharecroppers. Sharecroppers did not pay their rent in cash. Instead, they paid a share of their crops, often as much as one-half to two-thirds, to cover their rent, as well as the cost of the seed, fertilizer, tools, and animals they needed. Many sharecroppers also needed more seed and other supplies than their landlords could provide. As a result, country stores and local suppliers known as furnishing merchants provided sharecroppers with the supplies they needed on credit, but at interest rates often as high as 40%. To make sure sharecroppers paid their debts, laws allowed merchants to put liens on their crops. These crop liens meant that the merchant could take some of the crops to cover the debts. The crop lien system and high interest rates led many into a financial condition called debt peonage. Debt peonage trapped sharecroppers on the land because they could not make enough money to pay off their debts and leave, nor could they declare bankruptcy. Failure to pay off debts could lead to imprisonment or forced labor. The Civil War had ended slavery, but the failure of Reconstruction left many African Americans trapped in economic circumstances where they lost much of their newly gained freedom. Reading check. Summarizing. What alliance brought about an economic rebuilding of the South?